So, as we start the sermon this morning, I kind of have to do a double duty, so I'm going to compress two sermons into one and try to make them each half sermons. First, I want to introduce you to the idea of what we mean when we say measures. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see you at work in our lives. Help us to experience and know your power to transform us, to prepare us for what is to come, and to make us good ambassadors, to make us like Jesus. In your name, amen. So for a long time in the business world, especially, when one sets a goal, you'll be happy that I learned this, Doug. When one sets a goal, it doesn't do any good if the goal is not measurable. That's right. You got to know, and doable, you got to know whether or not you're making progress to the goal. You have to measure it. And so it was no surprise then when we began to work with Oxano that they wanted us to set some goals as a congregation. Now, the problem is that in the life of the church, very often the goal is bums in the seats and dollars in the offering plate. And so the typical measure for how churches are doing in history has been how many people are showing up to worship and how much money are they giving. The only problem is that when the survey was done by Willow Creek about 10 years ago now, one of the things they discovered was the correlation of spiritual growth and attendance at worship on Sunday morning is zero. I know that's really hard to believe. It was hard for them to believe. They had to double check the data. They didn't believe it. But the truth of the matter is, coming to church on Sunday morning apparently has no correlation as to whether or not you're growing in your faith. And Oxano wants us to measure whether or not we're being effective at our primary calling of growing as disciples of Jesus Christ. And the only way we can know whether or not we're doing that is to know whether or not you are growing. Does your participation in the life of Desert Hope help you to grow in faith? And so we're going to begin to answer some questions. So Oxano said, they asked us this question, a tough question. What does a person who's growing in faith look like after they've grown in faith? How do we expect them to look? And this was kind of at the end of the vision frame process, and the team of us that were together in that process began to answer those questions. And we came up with five things that we think ought to be happening in the lives of people who are growing in their faith. We believe that they should be submitting humbly to God, that they should be living honorably, that they should be rooted in Scripture, that they should give cheerfully, and that they should live their lives with contagious joy. The shocking thing for us was when we looked back and discovered that there is a correlation between... Oh, I got a slide. I'm sorry. If you can reach into your bags and take out your hands... First off, by the way, I would prefer if you thought these as praying hands rather than clapping hands. Dr. Gigax, you have in this little device the whole vision frame. On one hand, you have the values. On the other hand, you have the measures. And in the middle, you have the mission statement and the strategy symbol of invite, worship, grow, and serve. So the whole thing is in this one little representative item that we hope that you'll take home and look at and think about who it is that we believe we are as a church and what it is we believe we're trying to do. But you'll see that the thumb on the one hand of values that says worship as the starting point corresponds to the thumb on the other hand, which is the first measure, today's measure, I submit humbly. That's really easy to remember if you remember that worship is about submission. Worship is about lying prostrate before God. It's about allowing, recognizing the authority of God and therefore our lack thereof. That God is the one in control, and therefore I submit my life to his control because I recognize that God is in fact God. As we journey through the next week, we're going to show how each of the values that we've already been through corresponds to new measures. Worship as the starting point. Now, the reason I did the squirm test earlier is because I recognize that as Lutherans, we have often been uncomfortable talking about change. We've often been uncomfortable talking about responsibility and expectations as we respond to God in our lives. I find that very odd given our history, because our history as Lutherans comes out of the Reformation, and one of the strong tenets of Lutheranism in those early years and even down to today in many, many churches is education. We've had a very strong education branch throughout our history as Lutherans. And if you go to school, you expect to learn something. You expect to grow in knowledge, right? So if you go to church and you're studying God, you would expect to grow in knowledge and grow in faith. So it shouldn't be such a far-fetched idea that we would then ask a question. Are we? Is it working? But the answer to growing in faith is very clearly, and I might have to say this several times today to make sure that you hear me, the answer is not to try harder. Let me rephrase. You will not, you cannot grow in faith by trying harder. Well, but Pastor, no, but Pastor. You cannot grow in faith by trying harder. Let me explain why. Faith is putting your trust in God. It's giving someone else the control. You don't do that by doing more. You do that by giving over to God what belongs to him, letting God take control of your life instead of you being in control of your life. I just lost half the men in the audience. We don't even get to be the co-pilot. God is in control. And so growth does not come by effort. Growth comes by submission. It comes by giving over the control to God. It comes by, instead of asking, what do I want, asking, God, what do you want from my life? From what do I want to do today to, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Instead of asking, who do I want to be? We ask God, Lord, who do you want me to be? Where are you at work in my life to mold and shape and challenge and enrich so that I can progress into the person you need me to be, to do that which you need me to do, to be your ambassador, to be your witness, to be the person you've called me to be? Yes, I know. We're talking about obedience. But we're not talking, I hope, to a bunch of teenagers. There are teenagers in the room. I'm glad you're here. But we're not talking about teenage angst. Okay, fine. Now I have to do that. No. We're talking about what's the path so that you, Nate Rasmussen, can experience the greatest joy in your life. How can God work in your life so that you have the greatest hope and the greatest happiness possibly available to you? You buy into that? You want to resist that, or you want to have that joy? Because God gives us guidance in our life. Not that the road is going to be easy, because we're really not happy with easy. I know some of you want to debate that. But the truth of the matter is, we're not happy with easy. We like to be challenged. We like to have... Now, some of us are saying, yeah, God, but could you dial it back a bit? But easy is boring. We just wish hard wasn't quite so hard. So that's why we start with worship as the starting point in our values. And that's why the first question we want to ask in our measures is, am I giving my life over to God? Am I submitting humbly? Or am I sort of going kicking and screaming? And I tell you right now, real honestly, I'm really glad that occasionally in my life, God has dragged me kicking and screaming because he got me there. I just wish I'd have had a better attitude about it in the process. God is at work. And so we measure with this question of our spiritual health. Do I humbly submit? And so you have before you today a scorecard, a record sheet. And that's what that, well, I gave it away. That's what that round thing is. Now, here's the strange thing. We actually are going to expect you to keep this round thing for 18 months. Find a safe place. And bring it back to church for the next 5 weeks. Because the little card that's connected to it is the evaluation card for today, and we're going to ask you to turn that in. Counters in the room, please do not throw these away. When they put them in the offering plate, save them for us. Sue? All right, got it? Okay, good. So today we're saying, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to have to jump ahead because I'm off in my slides. I'll go backwards later just to warn the slide person. On a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 5, there are 4 questions for 5 weeks, 5 points for each question, it adds up to 100. So today, the 4 questions are, am I willing to be held accountable to live out the values God has taught in Scripture? The values of God as taught in Scripture. Now, I know you're already getting wig out. Arter's going, okay, who decides? Which values are you talking about? Because there's a lot of values in Scripture, are there not? Well, guess what? You're the judge. In this whole process of measures, nobody is judging you except you. You have to choose for yourself. How true is this statement of me on a scale of 1 to 5? Not true at all? 1. True all the time? 5. Somewhere in between? Pick a number. How true is this statement of you? I am willing to be held accountable to live out the values of God as taught in Scripture. Held accountable. Keyword. Scale of 1 to 5. Go ahead, mark it down. Yeah, you get out the pencil. There's a pencil in there for some other reason. It's a youth flyer, I think. Wow, he actually wanted us to do something. Again, no names. You don't write your name on the card. Erase that. On a scale of 1 to 5... how true is it of you? I am willing to be held accountable to live out the values of God as taught in Scripture. Second question. How true is this of you? I regularly participate in congregational worship, confession, and the Lord's Supper. Holy Communion. Hopefully you'll score very high on that because you're here. And we already did confession and we're about to do communion. Third question, third statement. How true it is of you, I often listen to others valuing their opinions. Yes, we know, ladies, you're going to score higher than this than the men. It's okay. We can take it. It's not a competition. Ray, I know you're back, but you're not writing. You're already done. Yeah, you've always been that way. Next statement, I put the needs of others above my own. Well, one of the ladies on the Friday morning Bible study said, well, which others? Guess what? You decide. Maybe others is your family. Maybe others is your neighbor. Maybe others is your coworkers. I don't know. You decide. How true is the statement of you? I put the needs of others before my own. And then, that was the last question, wasn't it? That was all four. All right, so now, you're going to put those in the offering plate when we come by, when the offering is taken, and we're going to gather that up, and we're going to see how together we as a community of faith, as the One Desert Hope, have ranked ourselves on these questions. Now, I'm going back to my previous slides. I'm going to this one. Now, oh, thank you. I'm sorry. So the round thing, the scroll, is your copy. So write in the number on just that first four, the first four in the far left column. That's all you're going to fill out today. September? Yes, September. Well, yeah, put it there. I don't know why we put September, but put it there. Maybe because this goes into September. And just put down the number you rank for each of those questions. Got it? Done? This is going to allow you to keep a record. So you're going to be able to see whether or not you've progressed individually. And as a congregation, as we gather these, we're going to find out if we've progressed as a congregation. I know you think I'm crazy. You're going, Pastor, what is these just far out schemes you're dealing with? Well, Mr. Rasmussen, former vice president of the congregation, sir, if we set a goal as a congregation and determine what the measures are, we're not done, are we? What do we have to do? You got to actually take the measure, not just know what it is, but take it. So I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to use your money wisely. We set goals. We set measures. Now we're actually going to take the measure. Is that all right? Okay, a few of you are going to with me. That's good. All right, good. Thank you. We see in the world and in surveys taken by all sorts of organizations in the world a very sad statistic these days. And that sad statistic is this. There's almost no measurable difference between Christians and non-Christians. When they take surveys in our society, and usually these are secular surveys, and they ask questions about just about anything, and if they can differentiate those who are churchgoers and those who are not, or those who are Christian or those who are not, when they gather the data together, they don't see any difference between Christians and non-Christians. Premarital sex, divorce, smoking, drinking, partying, whatever the data is they're asking, they typically find no measurable difference between Christians and non-Christians. And I say to you, how are we failing? How is it possible for us to know the grace and love of God? How is it possible for us to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives every moment of every day through every struggle, and for that to have no impact? Because that's what we have as children of God that those who are not believers don't have. And quite honestly, I think it's because if you don't count, it doesn't count. Honestly, I think it's because we've been asking the wrong question. We've been asking the question, do you go to church on Sunday morning? And we've only recently learned that going to church on Sunday morning isn't what makes you grow in faith. And so now we're asking some different questions. And we're hoping that if we count, it will count and it will bear fruit in your life. And that as it bears fruit in your life, it will bear fruit in this congregation, in this community. And as it bears fruit in this community, we believe that it will impact the city and beyond as God brings change in us. He will bring change through us. And it begins with humility. Why do I say that? Oh, well, interestingly enough, if you look at this image, it looks like Jesus is putting on the person the robe that he is already wearing. Do you see in the back the person putting on the robe is already wearing the robe he's putting on? We are to clothe ourselves with Christ. That's what we're talking about. And we believe, we see in Jesus, and we hear in the text in Philippians that he humbled himself to be with us. And he calls us to therefore humble ourselves like he did. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will honor you. When we seek our own honor, we fail. When we become proud, he brings us back to where we need to be. He despises the proud, but he lifts up the humble. One of the things that I've been reading lately in the baptismal preparation stuff is this idea that God blesses those who know they need him. I didn't come to heal those who are righteous. I came to heal those who know they are not. As we humble ourselves and admit our need for God, he can more freely then have his way in our lives. If instead our prayers begin with, "Dear Jesus, I got this," that's a problem. If we think we already know what God wants us to do, if we're living on yesterday's instructions, we're probably going to miss the turn to head in the direction that God wants us to go. And God's going to have to work some interesting things to finally get us back on track. It's like the way we guys drive, isn't it? Before navigation systems, where we said, "We'll find it eventually. I'll get there. I don't need to stop and ask directions." I know, this is just a horrible sermon for guys, isn't it? Now, Pastor, what are you doing? Saying we have to ask directions? Yes, I'm saying we need daily direction from God in our lives. Life is far more complicated than we think. We don't have the whole picture. We don't understand what's going on in the lives of all the people that are all around us that we're impacting every day. But God understands that. He knows what he needs of you and through you to bless the people around you. And so we ask for him to give us direction. Don't turn to God only when you need something. Turn to him often. And then he'll already be there when you are in need. I think one of the major themes throughout the reading of Scripture is this idea of watching the people of Israel go close to God and then go far from God, and then go close to God and then go far from God. And life has to get really bad before they finally turn back to God and he blesses them again. Well, guess what? Don't do that. That's an example in Scripture of what we're not supposed to do. If we instead stay close to God, if we abide in him, then he will abide in us and we will bear much fruit. That's our calling. Look to Jesus, our perfect example of how we humble ourselves, how we serve others, how we give our lives away to others as Jesus did. Now, here's the other problem. I already see it in your eyes. Keep interrupting myself this morning. I see it in your eyes. You're going, "Well, wait a minute. John yelled out earlier about goals, or that they have to be doable." And so a lot of you are sitting here right now, you're going, "Pastor Jim, you just said we have to be like Jesus, and that's not doable. Bad goal. Doesn't work." John, were you saying that in your voice? And you weren't, really. I know you weren't. But thank you. Good. Phew. But some of you hear the calling of the church to be like Jesus and you simply give up. You simply say, "Can't do it, no way." And you know what I want to say to that is, you're right. What I really want to say is, yes, you can, but I know you can't. Because you can't grow in faith by trying harder. The only way you're going to become more like Jesus is for you to allow Jesus to work his life out in you and through you. It's by allowing God to work in you and on you and through you rather than doing it yourself. It's about giving up control to God. It's about giving up our values for God's values. It's about giving up our love so that we receive God's love for other people. A love whose heart goes out to people when we see them struggling and hurting. A love that moves us to behave differently because we see an opportunity to make a difference. It's the love, Sarah, that grabbed your heart and just rang it for weeks and weeks and weeks when you were in Africa and when you came back. That's why your heart breaks for those kids, because the love of Christ has been at work in you. And you can't see them and love them and not want to make a difference for them. It's how God works in us to make us like Jesus. We don't make ourselves like him. God is at work through the Holy Spirit making us like him. And so we submit to God's authority, and we submit to the authority of the Word. By the way, did you notice the God box up here? In 2 weeks, the measure is I am rooted in Scripture. And from 2 weeks ago, when we gave you the new bookmarks and we asked you to check those off, this is where, 2 weeks, you're going to be putting your cards in there. How are you doing? Don't tell me. You should have 2 weeks done. Do you have 2 weeks done? Or did you not even know about it because you were in like Alaska or something? Well, if you didn't know about it, grab the bookmark today and start tomorrow. And then at least when you come 2 weeks from now and put your bookmark in here, it'll have 2 weeks done. So if you didn't start with us, start now. Because we need to submit our lives to the authority of God's Word. God's Word is how God communicates to us. It's how he tells us and shows us and reveals to us what his value, what his will, what his character is like, so that we know what he wants of us. It comes through the Scripture. So we need that. This is where we're going to jump ahead again on my slides. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was listening to that text that Charlie was reading this morning in James, it didn't sound very nice, Charlie. It really, I mean, you know, they're going to be, in my gospel, they're going to be burned like chaff, and in yours, you know, I mean, it wasn't friendly. Did you notice how unfriendly the texts were this morning? Anybody notice? Did anybody know? One person noticed. Okay, we noticed. It seemed to be talking a lot about what punishment comes when you don't. It kind of talked about the fact that you're going to be unhappy. But Jesus said that he lets us know this, that as we love him and obey him, we will receive joy. So I'm asking you again, I've already asked you this, but not quite clearly enough. Those of you that are still in a place of angst, if you're thinking about the question, how much did this cost? If you're thinking about the question, why do you keep bothering us with this stuff? If you're thinking about the question, is this really Lutheran? Is he still a Lutheran pastor? What's going on with this? Change your attitude. Simply ask the Lord to be at work in you and through you, in us and through us, in me and through me. We want to be effective at touching your lives with the love of Christ. We want to be effective at experiencing the joy and power of Christ's presence through the journey of the struggle of every day. When we were getting ready to hire Pastor Braden and those whom we were talking to before him, we were saying we want to have a youth ministry at Desert Hope that places in the hearts of our young men and women a strength of faith that allows them, as they experience the struggles and the hardships that come in life, in relationships and in work and in family and in health, that faith will give them a confidence and a hope and a joy that will keep them secure through the ups and downs and bumps and bruises of life. And I was thinking to myself, that's good. That's really good. I mean, Jack, that's what we want for you. We absolutely want you to have that. Only problem is after I thought about that and was feeling really good about it, I stood up in the bathroom, and you know what I saw? The mirror. And I realized there's only one way Desert Hope as a community of faith is going to be able to instill that in our young people. You know what that is? That's exactly right. We have to instill it in our own lives first. These measures are about wanting you to have a hope and a confidence in the love and presence of God, the power of God in your life, so that you can move through the ups and downs, the challenges, as hard as they are, knowing that God is with you and for you and will strengthen you and never leave you alone. And so, we're taking some measures. Because we want to know, do we need to change something as a church so that we can be more effective at encouraging you in your faith, in bringing more hope and joy into your life as a believer and a part of this community? Because if we do, brothers and sisters, let's figure it out. Let's make the change, so that the light of Christ's love and joy and hope shines brightly through this, his church. Amen.